Let's look in, where am I going here? Luke chapter 19, amen? Luke chapter 19. I was sitting at home all homesick because I wasn't at the Wilds this week. And Pastor Pierre Vicente sends me a picture on the one morning when they have cinnamon buns made. I only go to the Wilds for two things. That's to eat the cinnamon buns in that one morning when they give them. And then they always have a sponsor picnic at the lake. And they usually have ribbit sandwiches, the ribs on it. They're greasy and they're not good for you, but they taste good. Amen. And so my testimony for the Wilds is I was at homesick to go to the Wilds. Amen. Well, I want to share a message here quickly out of Luke chapter 19, just simply entitled Seeking to Save. VBS is next week. Our teens have been down at the Wilds this past week. And really, our life as a Christian, that's what it is all about. It's seeking those that we can lead to the Lord, seeking those that can be saved. This is a great passage in the life of Jesus in Luke chapter 19. Verse 1, as Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, whom he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And Jesus came to the place. He looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he has gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he was a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Let's pray. God, thank you for the opportunities that you give us. Lord, not just to hear the gospel and get saved, but to be able to understand the word of God and be discipled and grow in the Lord. And then, Lord, even being able to reach out to others and helping them to know how they can be saved. I'm thankful, Lord, for these teens that have trusted Christ as their Savior. And, Lord, they were able to experience a great encounter with God this past week. And Lord, they certainly were able to have fun in the fellowship and the games and all that. But God, their hearts were tender towards you, and you spoke to their hearts, and we praise you for that. God, I pray that each one of us would not lose our focus of the reality that we need to continue to reach out to others that they might be saved. And so, Lord, bless us tonight. Speak to us. If there is someone here that's not saved tonight, I pray that you'd bring conviction on their heart and they might receive the Lord as their Savior. Bless the preaching of the Word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. What a great passage here. Verse 10 is our text verse. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. When you think about the life of Christ and you study the life of Christ through the Gospels, you see everything that Jesus did in his earthly ministry and all the way to the cross and rising out of the grave was all focused on one thing, and that was to seek the lost. And I think sometimes we as Christians forget about that. Now, many times churches lose their focus and intentionally reaching out to win other people to Christ. It's amazing if you look at church statistics and you see how many churches are closing down in America. And one of the major problems that you see is somewhere along the line, they lost the focus that this is about seeking to save that which is lost. So everything that we do as a church is for that one purpose, to try to get people saved. Whether it's vacation Bible school, whether it's a couples retreat, whether it's a picnic or a barbecue, or whatever it is, we are always creating opportunities where we can bring people into the church to hear the gospel message for one reason, that they might trust Christ as their Savior. And it's not about it. Oftentimes we think, well, it's about building the church. We're not supposed to build the church. Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It is our purpose to follow the command of Christ to go out and do what we can to reach others. In our passage here, we know Jesus has come through Jericho, and as he's coming through, there's a man by the name of Zacchaeus that was going to, he desired to see Jesus, but the Bible says that he was a man that was little of stature, and so he could not see because of the crowds pressing around Christ. And so he climbs up into a sycamore tree. We see some amazing thoughts about him. His condition in verse 2, he was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. He was a wealthy man. But it also in verse 7, it says, when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he had gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And so we know that he was short in stature. We know that he was a wealthy man. We know that he was a publican. We know the people certainly did identify him as being a sinner. And so it's very easy to see what his condition was and what needed to be taken care of and what Christ needed to speak to him about. We see the invitation in verse 5. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And so the invitation, Jesus understood the condition of Zacchaeus, and so he offers an invitation to Zacchaeus for him to come into his house so he could be with him and abide with him. I just think all the time that if we really do understand the condition of men and women and boys and girls, then we ought to be willing to offer an invitation for them to come to our house, to come to the church, or maybe take them out to lunch or whatever it may be. Do whatever it is that you can do for the opportunity to be able to lead someone to Christ. And it's been amazing over the years. I've done all kinds of things. I put an engine in a guy's car just for that purpose. He was a Jehovah Witness. I wanted to be able to witness to him. And I'd witnessed to him many, many times. But I knew it'd take us 8 to 10 hours to change that motor. And that's a long time for me to witness to somebody. Amen. And when you have somebody's engine hanging on a chain out of a tree, you're going to get their attention to pay attention to you as you talk to them. Amen. And so the condition of people creates the opportunity for us to give an invitation to people to come to Christ. And then we see in verse 9, the salvation. Jesus said, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he was also a son of Abraham. And so salvation will come. If we'll acknowledge people's condition and give the invitation, there will be people that'll be saved. I understand that it's hard to lead people to the Lord. People are very skeptical, and people certainly in New Jersey don't want to talk to you if they don't know you and all this, that, and the other. But if you talk to enough people, it's for sure certain that God's going to give you somebody that's going to respond and receive Christ as their Savior. But I know this, if you don't talk to anybody, it's for sure you're not going to lead anybody to the Lord. And so we need to take those opportunities. And so Christ comes to seek and to save that which is lost. 16 times in the Gospels, Jesus said, follow me. It's amazing how many times he gives an invitation, follow me. Follow me. I remember years ago, there was a fellow coming out the church here for a while, and he got mad at me. He told me, I don't understand. You're always giving an invitation at the church. I don't see any invitation in the Bible. I said, boy, you better read your Bible. Jesus was constantly saying, follow me, follow me, follow me. He's extending an invitation to Zacchaeus to come to his house and abide with him. And so there is always an invitation to call us to salvation and God to call us to serve him. And so seeking to save the lost. Notice some things here about this. There needs to be a change in focus. Certainly verse 2 and 3 shows us that there was a change of focus in Zacchaeus' life. He lived as a publican. He was a chief of the publicans. He was a man that was focused on riches. But Jesus is coming to town. And when he comes to town, he says he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And so there was a change of focus in his heart, and his intentions were. So he wanted to see who Christ was. In Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to be kind of bouncing back and forth in the Gospels here. In Matthew chapter 4, in verse 18, we see that literally Zacchaeus moved from the superficial to the supernatural. In Matthew chapter 4, in verse 18, it says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brothers, casting net into the sea, for they were fishers." And so this was their livelihood. This was their means by which they supported their families. But in light of eternity, fishing for fish does not mean much. And so here they are as they're fishing. They're going to have to change their focus and look on that which is supernatural, because Jesus is going to call them to follow him. Notice that was the change of focus was not only from the superficial to the supernatural, but it was from the source of life to the Savior of life. In verse 19, Jesus said unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." See, their focus was getting what they needed to sustain life on this earth. But Jesus is telling them, wait a minute, that is a source of life in providing for your needs as you're fishing for those fish. But wait a minute, I'm the Savior of the world. And he calls them, and there's a change of focus because they leave their nets and they follow Jesus Christ, and their life would never be the same. And then I just put down this, I thought of this. They had a change of focus from stinking fish to sinful men. And so it says here in verse 19, he says, "I will make you fishers of men." And so literally changing their focus from catching fish to catching sinful men. I remember years ago I had a boat. I bought a boat, and I named it Fishers of Men. And in today's climate, I don't know if I would do that again. It may create a different thought pattern, the way this world thinks. But it was a great witnessing tool. People said, "Fishers of men, fishers of men. Wow, what does that mean, fishers of men?" And it gave me an opportunity to talk to people about Christ. It was amazing. Paul Santo, I bought the boat off of, and I put that on there, and he just thought that was the neatest thing. And he was actually talking to people. He wasn't saved at the time. He was talking to people about the name of the boat, Fishers of Men. Yeah, you know what that means? And he's explaining it to them. Listen, there's a change of focus when we get saved. There's a change of focus when Christ comes into the picture. And so sometimes we have to remind ourselves that we need to change our focus from superficial things in life. There's so many things. Cell phones. We love our cell phones. How do we live without a cell phone? You know, I was thinking when they were talking about their cell phones up here, when I drove tractor and trailer years ago, we didn't have any cell phones. You had to pull into a service area and use a pay phone and just to be able to get in contact with people. I don't know how in the world we lived without our cell phones. But all of a sudden you find out, wait a minute, you don't need all that technology. That technology hinders us many times from focusing on Jesus Christ. And so we have to be careful of the things that are advancing in our world in which we live, all the tech things that are going on, that it does not hinder our focus of being on Jesus Christ. You think of all that Zacchaeus had, all that he enjoyed, all that he how he interacted with people and did business. He put all that aside that he might be able to focus on Jesus Christ. And so make sure that we are willing to change our focus. Notice also there was a change in priorities in Zacchaeus's life. In verse 5 and 6 says, "When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully." Now, amazing, amazing thing here is his priorities was changed. You know, wasting time endangers the soul. And we know in Luke chapter 12 of the rich man who had his barns full And he just delayed. He thought he was going to live forever. He decides to tear down his barns and build larger barns. And the Lord tells him, "Thou fool, tonight thy soul has been required of thee." Wasted time endangers the soul. Zacchaeus, for many years, lived apart from God. He had no desire to be with God, but here is Jesus Christ coming. And because he put his focus on Jesus, he was willing to change his priorities, because when Jesus said to make haste and come down, he came down immediately and went with him. We need to present to people who are lost a sense of urgency that they need to be saved. The reality is, if a man is lost right now and he dies, he's going to hell. There is no other hope for him. And so it is a message of urgency that needs to have a priority, that now is the day of salvation. That's why Jesus said, "This day is salvation come to this house." And so change in priorities. Notice also, waiting on death enlarges the loss. And Jesus would give us this instruction about calling, and there would be those that would want to delay following the Lord. And it enlarges the loss in that you might lose your soul. The rich man in hell, he died just like Lazarus died, but in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torment. And so there's the loss of the soul. The sad thing is, for many believers in Matthew 16, there's a loss of rewards. And God has rewards to bless us with as we serve him. If we'll set thy priority of Jesus first, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and we'll do that, then God will take care of everything else in our life. And so we don't want to lose rewards. A change of priority. So there's a change of focus in Zacchaeus' life, a change in priorities. There's a change in position in verse 8 and 9. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." Now, that was not the character trait of a publican. That was not the character trait of a man that was lost and away from God. But when he meets Jesus Christ, his position changes, where he is now willing to give half of everything that he has to the poor. And if he's done anything wrong to anyone, then he was willing to restore it fourfold. And so a change in position. Notice he had to move out of your comfort zone. Zacchaeus, I'm sure, was not very comfortable for him to make that statement. He was a wealthy man, and because of that, he had much money. And so it was, you're talking about a lot of money that he would be restoring, making things right financially. I mean, it's getting you out of your comfort zone. And so when we want to seek souls with Christ, when we want to seek to save people, you've got to get out of your comfort zone. I remember when I first got saved, my pastor was preaching on soul winning and all this, that, and the other. And I never knocked on people's doors. I never did anything like that. And I started going out soul winning. And I tell you, it was not comfortable for me to do that. And my personality is, it's not comfortable for me to do that today, to go out and knock on doors of people that I don't know. I try to make it fun and try to get over my fears sometimes. But the reality is, you have to force yourself out of your comfort zone in order to seek to save that which is lost. And if you're not willing to do that, you'll never be a testimony and a witness in reaching out to others. I've had people over the years say, "Oh, I just couldn't talk to somebody." You could, really. You could, if you really gave it a try, if you just would just be friendly. I remember one guy did PE, personal evangelism, not physical ed, personal evangelism, amen. And when I was in Bible college, he was from down south, and he always used to tell us, "Guys, you need to be folksy." I'm like, folksy? I'm from New Jersey. What are you talking about? You need to be folksy. You need to go up and knock on the door and smile and be friendly and look around and see if there's toys. And if there's toys, that means there's kids there. Talk about somebody's kids and whatever. Everybody will talk about their kids. And I'm like, man, that just ain't in me to talk that way. You know, I'm from New Jersey. I'm blunt. You've died today. You don't 100% sure you go to heaven? What do you mean you don't know? You need to know, amen? You need to be born again right now. That's why New Jersey witnesses, amen? My dad, he used to talk to people, I'd hear him sometimes, and he would say, well, do you go to church? And he said, well, I don't go to church. No. He said, well, you need to be saved. I mean, he just got right on him. I was like, well, Dad, you could approach that a little bit easier, amen? But change position. You need to move out of your comfort zone. It's never comfortable to talk to somebody that you don't know about a God who they reject and they must trust as their Savior. It's never comfortable to do that. And it certainly was not comfortable for Zacchaeus to say, okay, I'm going to restore money fourfold and I'm going to allow this Messiah, Jesus, I don't know who he is, I've never seen him, but he's going to come to my house. And when he comes to my house, I might be uncomfortable with that, but he came encounter with the living God and he got saved. So move out of your comfort zone. Move into a witnessing opportunity. And the amazing thing is Jesus, when he meets Zacchaeus, there's all kinds of murmuring because of the fact they said that he is a guest with a man that is a sinner. Now listen, Jesus did not embrace the sinful life of Zacchaeus, but he did go into his house to sit down and present himself to him that he might be saved. There are opportunities that you can experience in leading someone to the Lord if you allow God to give you a mind and a heart about this matter of seeking to save the lost. I know when I got saved, I was driving tractor and trailer, and I'd go into a restaurant, and I'd never really talk to people I don't know. And I'd go in there, and I was like, Lord, I really want to be a witness. But, you know, I'm on the road. I'm driving tractor and trailer. I'm not home to go door-to-door soul winning. And I'd go in to grab something to eat, want to grab something real fast. I'd sit at the counter, and they'd bring me my food. And somebody would come and sit right next to me. I always made sure when I sat down, there was always a chair between me and somebody else. I don't want to be up close to somebody. And God would bring somebody in and set them down right next to me. And they would start talking to me. I felt like looking at them, what are you talking to me for? I don't know you. Then the Spirit of God would prod me, hey, you said you wanted to be a witness. I brought you somebody to witness to. My goodness gracious, I'll tell you, it was amazing. There's people I've led to the Lord all over this country driving a tractor and trailer. I went into Bible college, I was driving bus, and it was amazing how God would give me people to witness to if I was just mindful of the fact that, wait a minute, what opportunities is God going to form? I remember one fellow I led to the Lord. He was going to Flint, Michigan, was about a two-hour drive from Detroit. And I dropped off all the people that was on the van. He was the last man on the van. And we were going up there, and he was talking to me, hey, what are you doing up here in Michigan, and all this, that, and the other. And so I told him I was going to Bible college, and he was really. And so God just kept prodding me to be a witness to him. So I started talking to him. And, I mean, God just gripped my heart. I started weeping. I'm not a crying man. But I'm telling you, God broke my heart when I was talking to that man. I said, you know, God has been so good to me. I mean, I was driving a van making $3.65 an hour and praying whether God was going to, I mean, a mouse would have to pack a lunch to go through our apartment or he'd starve to death. And God overwhelmed me with a sense of his goodness on me. And I just started weeping. I said, God's been so good to me. I said, I don't even know how to explain how good God has been. I was an alcoholic and God saved me. God delivered me. And God's done all this in my life. And God's called me to preach. I'm in Michigan preparing for the ministry. I'm just saying this, God's been good to me. And that man just started looking at me. He said, this is what he told me. He said, I've been a Catholic for 45 years of my life. And I've never heard anything as solid and secure as what you just shared with me. And he said he wanted to trust Christ as a Savior. He bowed his head and trusted Christ as a Savior, driving down the road 70 miles an hour in a van. He was from Texas. I never saw him again. But one time when I get to heaven, I think I'm going to enjoy seeing that man again. Just realize this. If you have on your heart that we're seeking to save that which is lost, because that's what Jesus did, then when an opportunity like Zacchaeus comes up, you're going to seize that opportunity, even though if it means getting out of your comfort zone and talk to that person and lead them to Christ. It's amazing how God will use you in a great way. Well, he not only had to move out of his comfort zone, he had to move into a witnessing opportunity, but he had to move away from thinking that mankind is good. Now, listen, Zacchaeus, I'm sure he patted himself on his back. I'm sure Zacchaeus felt that he was a pretty good man. I'm sure in his mind, in light of the world had to present, he thought he was okay. But the reality is, every man is a sinner. Every man is lost. Every man is an enemy of God. People say, well, I'm a friend of God. No, you're not. If you're lost, you're the enemy of God. And so there is a change of position where we move away from thinking that people are good and realizing that they are sinners that are lost. The reality is, we will not seek to save the lost if we keep convincing ourselves that they're okay and that they're good. The reality is, they're not any good. They're no good because you were no good. I was no good. And in ourselves, there is no good thing. In the flesh dwelleth no good thing. But praise God that Jesus Christ enters in and redeems us from all of our sins and gives us new life. And so we're not good in ourselves. We're secured in the Savior. And so there's a change in position. And if you don't see people in their lost condition, you'll never seek to save. These children are going to be coming in this next week. Some of them are going to be coming in. They're going to be already saved. They're going to be coming in. Many of them will come in. They're not saved. They're lost. Don't look at them and say, oh, they're just good little children. No, they're not. They're lost little children. And they need Jesus Christ as their Savior. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me. And then this concept of going out and reaching the children and bringing them to Jesus Christ. Why? Because we're seeking to save the lost. It's amazing statistically how quickly and how many children will trust Christ as their Savior and how few adults will. And so you need to reach the children while they're young and bring them to Christ. You teachers, you craft workers, you nursery workers, kitchen workers, your field day and dealing with the games and all that, whatever it is that you're doing in VBS, understand this, that every one of us are here to seek to save those children. And you know what? You lead a child to the Lord, it opens the door for you to go into the home and talk to mom and dad. Let's not drop the ball and say, well, we had 20 kids get saved. Yeah, well, what, 20 kids represent 40 moms and dads. And so they need to be saved also. 20 kids also represent siblings in the home that need to be saved also. So let's do whatever we can to reach people for Christ. Why? Because his man Zacchaeus is saved because Jesus reached out to him. And I just know this, if we have a heart that Christ had to seek to save that which was lost, then we're going to reach out to others to try to bring them to Christ. And I know God will bless us. I know God will. He always does. And he's not willing that any should perish. So let's allow the Lord to stir our hearts with a spirit of compassion to reach out to those who need to receive him as their Savior. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. I praise you, God, for these teenagers. And Lord, for what they've heard, what they've experienced this week, for the decisions they made. And God, I see great, mighty potential in each one of their lives. God, of multitudes of people coming to know Christ as their Savior because of their testimony and because of their faith. I pray, God, you'd use them in a miraculous way. I pray for us as a church body. As we enter into VBS, as we prepare this week, and as we bring the children in next week, help us to keep our focus right. Help us never to lose sight that this is about seeking to save. And Lord, we're thankful that you saved us. We're thankful, Lord, that we can share the good news that you're not willing that any should perish. And so bless us and help us, God, and we'll give you praise. I'm thankful for the joy that Zacchaeus experienced. I'm thankful for the thrill that he had in meeting the Savior. I'm thankful, oh God, that you didn't turn your back on him, but you reached out to him. I'm thankful, God, that you reached out to us. And so bless us, Lord, in this invitation. Speak to our hearts in a special way, and we'll give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's